Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Canadian Energy Services and Technology Corp conference call and webcast with respect to the recently announced results for the second quarter ended June 30th, 2016. Presenting for the company today will be Mr. Tom Simons, President and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Craig Nieboer, Chief Financial Officer. Please be advised this call is being recorded. A question and answer session will follow the end of the presentation. Please also be advised that this conference call may not be recorded or rebroadcast without the consent of the Canadian Energy Services. I would now like to turn the conference call over to Mr. Craig Nieboer. Please go ahead, Mr. Nieboer.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for attending today's call. Before we start, I'd like to note that in our commentary today, there will be forward-looking financial information and that our actual results may differ materially from the expected results due to various risk factors and assumptions. These risk factors and assumptions are summarized in our second quarter MD&A and press release and in our annual information form dated March 10th, 2016. In addition, certain financial measures that we will refer to today are not recognized under current generally accepted accounting policies, and for a description and definition of these, please see our second quarter MD&A. At this time, I'll turn it over to Tom.
Thank you, Craig. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for attending today's call. What we're going to do today is provide an overview of Q2 by business unit, both operationally and financially. We'll provide an update on current activity and what performance looks like financially for the different business units based on where we're at today. I'll provide an update on infrastructure and technology, which will include some initiatives coming out of Sialco and Jacam. We'll talk in detail about the recent addition of Catalyst to the CES platform, what that means for us now, and what we think that looks like going into the future. We'll also talk about how we plan to move ahead with the business to become the clear number three in oilfield consumable chemicals in the North American land market. Craig's going to provide a detailed financial update, and then we'll take questions. Off the top, obviously, very difficult conditions for oilfield services in Q2 in general. Our customers were realizing terrible pricing on oil and gas, so that affected pricing, affected volume. Operators shut wells in. There were wildfires in the oil sands, which affected our business to a degree. All things being said, the best we were able to do was break even in Q2 financially as a business. In Canada, only PureChem was able to make EBITDA in the business. Drilling fluids, Clear and Equal, had higher fixed costs than what we could generate in business. I'm happy to report that while Q2 was very difficult in the drilling fluid business, and typically because of breakup for American callers, the frost comes out of the ground here, the industry shuts down in Q2. If you can break even as a service company in Q2, you've probably done a brilliant job. Activity was so low this year. Breakup came so early, I think because of economic reasons more than weather reasons. There was hardly any work to do, and obviously the work that was happening, there's pricing pressure on it. Today, currently, our drilling fluid job count is 44. Importantly, we have a lot of deep, complex work. We attribute that to technology that allows people to drill faster. We are able to solve problems at a molecular level that our competitors cannot solve. That's because of the diversification in the business that's allowed us and required us to have world-class scientists and lab capabilities, analytical tools. That's what distinguishes us. That's why people hire us. In the oil sands, we've, during the second quarter, penetrated sort of the last major operator in the play that we weren't working for. Today, we have five SAGD rigs working. Long term, we see that as an important market for drilling fluids and for production chemicals in Canada. At levels of activity like today, Canadian drilling fluids can make money in three out of four quarters in a year. In Q2, if oil prices and gas prices stay where they are, we're going to keep our people and carry our team through second quarters so that we can make a big contribution in the other three quarters. PureChem Q3 is off to a great start. We're winning new business in heavy oil and oil sands. We're winning new business in the Deep Basin. We've added a new frac customer in July through PureChem. We're very excited about that. We've added high-level, high-impact people. That's because people here have tools that they can work with to solve their customers' problems and get work, and experienced people look for that and take pride in that. So we look to have a good back half of the year for PureChem. In the U.S., drilling fluids in Q2 was a tough quarter. We made major adjustments to staffing levels, to how we compensate, to be able to be viable in this new reality in the U.S. drilling market. We expect that as of Q3, AES will be able to make an EBITDA contribution to the business. Today, we have 51 jobs running in the U.S., with over 30 of those in West Texas. We've got a half dozen jobs in the Northeast U.S., and the balance of most of the work being in the Eagle Ford and Oklahoma. Our MMH technology, which is a water-based mud that we have intellectual property around, that system has certain places in the Delaware Basin where it can save operators significant time and costs. We're the only people with that technology. Effectively, it's drilling fluid made out of water instead of oil. And when you turn the pump off so the fluid stops moving, it becomes solid like jello. And when you turn the pump on, it becomes thin like water. It's a great hole cleaning mud, and it helps operators drill past fragile formations that often take lost circulation, which cause delays and major expense for the operator. Very proud to say that AES Frac started invoicing in July. We're excited about how additive this can be to our business as we can distribute those products through existing mud infrastructure and sales channels. We think that as industry recovers, this can be a very exciting part of our business. For the second quarter for JChem, we saw some operators shut production in, both oil and gas, to the effect of about 1,000 wells. Based on the volumes of materials that we're pushing out of the plant in Kansas, it looks like we've come off bottom from Q2. We're running tight inventory to be good business people, but we are putting out more product now than we were through the second quarter. People are turning on some of these wells that they had shut in, so we will benefit from that. There was a lot of rains in the quarter in Q2, so we did have some losses to weather. But in July, production volumes out of the plant are up, and we've added new business. And obviously, very importantly, on August 1st, we made the acquisition of Catalyst. This allows us to instantly become a major force in the Texas chemical market. What we like about Catalyst is tremendous leadership. There's great local talent on the ground that knows how to service the operator's work, is accepted by the local operator. We get infrastructure in Midland, which includes a lab, a blending plant. We get significant new distribution points throughout Texas, and we get rolling stock or trucks that deliver the chemicals that we sell. Importantly, the customer list is diverse and additive to our customer list. We really only shared one major customer in the West Texas market, so we think that as we integrate and work together, 1 + 1 will become 3. Part of what we think the CES JChem platform brings to Catalyst is more technology like SuperCore and solid chemistry, the ability to solve problems at a molecular level. That's owing to our scientists and the significant investments we've made in labs in Houston, Calgary, Kansas, and now significant lab capability and presence in Midland, and vertical integration. We believe that we can create margin through the ability to make the intermediates in Kansas that are then blended off into finished product that get used or consumed downhole by the customer. We're already working on integration. Earlier this week, we did a technology exchange in Kansas. We brought in business unit leaders, top scientists, the senior people at Catalyst, and everybody talked about what their capabilities are, what their opportunities are, and the takeaway or consensus was that we have all the tools of the major chemical companies. Now we need to start working together to go out and win new business. How we're going to do that is cross-training Catalyst on our technology like SuperCore and solid chemistry, how to use the expanded analytical capabilities in the Woodlands and Calgary labs. And we think when we start to bring those forces to bear, we're going to win new business and we're going to fortify or entrench ourselves at our existing accounts. We also believe the Catalyst will help AES sell drilling fluids and frac in the West Texas market. So how do we put all this together and become the number three oil field chemical company in North America in the land market? With culture. We're going to continue to run the business with working managers. We believe that's how you maintain a sense of urgency that distinguishes you from the majors. It allows you to have a culture of reactivity, of problem solving, of valuing the operator's time and money the way they need it valued, especially at $40 and $50 oil prices. But we bring the capabilities of a major with vertically integrated manufacturing at two plants in North America that can build molecules, blend plants in Saskatchewan, Alberta, and two in Texas. We think that through this trough that the industry appears to be in, we can keep doing what it takes to keep our share of the U.S. drilling fluid market at 10, Canada at about a third. We think we can expand our frac business in both countries, and we can steadily march out our Canadian and U.S. production and specialty chemical businesses to help us grow our business. We believe that the four major parts of the business can make money in this environment. Obviously, if oil legs down, we need to probably retrench a little more, but we are certainly positioned and spring-loaded if or when the industry recovers. We think that in a robust D&C market, we can leverage our common manufacturing, our common scientists and labs to manufacture and solve problems at a molecular level. That's very unique in the drilling fluid and frac market. It's what you need to do in the production chemical market, which is why we believe our ability to have all these different sales channels actually makes each one of these sales channels stronger. I'll go on to technology and infrastructure. Sialco is driving many new initiatives that can help bring solutions to our customers in all of our business units. We're working on H2S and corrosion issues in drilling fluids. We're working on flow enhancers for frac. We're working on polymer chemistry for frac and water clarifying through Sialco. And we see major wins coming down the line in supply chain, as Sialco has a long history of bringing commodity chemicals in from the Far East off water and reacting them into specialty products. Sialco is also taking J-Chem chemistry into their existing industrial markets. We're looking at some opportunities to deploy SuperCore for corrosion in industrial markets that could be exciting and additive to us. In the third quarter, we'll commission nitrile and quaternization at our plant in Kansas. We're excited about that. That's been a long project for us. It's an important part of the business. It'll make us basic in amines. That'll expand the products that we can sell, and it'll create margin for existing business. We're well into expansion at Carlisle. Happy to report that we need a bigger blend plant because we're pushing more product through. Generally, though, across the board, there'll be very modest spends of capital. We do not need more analytical equipment or more labs. What we need are some more high-impact technical people to help us continue to solve our customers' problems as we take market share. That concludes my portion of the update. I'll now turn it over to Craig.
Thanks, Tom. Obviously, the financial results of Q2 reflect what we believe is likely the trough in the second year of the worst downturn in the oil and gas industry since the 80s. And as mentioned by Tom, the results are net of a significant earnings drag in the quarter from our U.S. drilling fluids business and breakup in Canada, making the Canadian drilling fluids a non-contributor as well, leaving the chemical businesses to make up the shortfall and cover the corporate costs. As a result, gross revenue in Q2 2016 was $97.7 million versus $163.1 million in Q2 of 2015, a decrease of $65.4 million or 40%. Cash gross margin in Q2 2016 was $23.6 million or 24% versus cash gross margin in Q2 of 2015 of $43.7 million or 27%. The result of that lower activity and lower margins affected EBITDA significantly. Adjusted EBITDA, after adjusting for restructuring costs and an additional allowance for bad debts, was positive $600,000, down from $19 million in Q2 2015. Based on the downsizing that we've undertook in the first half of the year and rationalization of costs to meet the industry, the conditions that exist in the industry today, we expect that we've achieved about $20 million of annualized savings in costs. We see positive but modest results in the back half of 2016, and our balance sheet remains strong. We had over $111 million of cash on June 30th. Post the acquisition funding of Catalyst, we're still north of $40 million of cash on the balance sheet, and we're in compliance with all our covenants of all our debt instruments and believe, based on our own internal forecasts, we'll remain that way. At this time, we'll turn it over to the callers for questions.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile a Q&A roster. And again, if you'd like to ask a question, that is star one on your telephone keypad. Our first question comes from the line of Ian Gillies from First Energy. Your line is open.
Morning, guys.
Hey, Ian.
Tom, I was just hoping you could maybe walk us through some of the differences in the manufacturing capabilities, maybe just from between Catalyst and Jacum, and what maybe some of the different things they can do are and where one might have an advantage over the other.
The advantage mainly is logistics, Ian. Catalyst has blending capabilities and some low-temperature reaction capabilities. Effectively, Catalyst is, you know, through the 11 years of building their business, outsourcing intermediates from companies like Jacum, which they bring into their plant and then either blend with each other or blend with a carrier like a solvent, water, some kind of white oil, diesel, into a finished product. What it gives us is the ability to bring concentrate in from Kansas rather than shipping finished product out of Kansas that could contain a lot of carrier. So we'll bring our own intermediates in as we cross out the existing supply channels that Catalyst had. We see margin coming to the bottom line there. And probably, I think, as you start to go through that process, you start to identify that you can high grade some of your products.
Okay, thanks. That's very helpful. And
Ian, I'll give you some idea of throughput. The Catalyst facility runs 8 to 5, Monday to Friday. So, you know, if in 2 or 3 years there's another 2 million barrels of oil coming out of West Texas and we've rolled the wave up, we just add a shift to that plant.
Okay. So there is some flex there in utilization and throughput. And, I mean, with respect to West Texas and the Permian right now, I mean, you guys are as close to it as anyone. Are your customers still looking to add rigs through the back half of the year, or have those conversations slowed somewhat given the pullback in oil prices?
Yeah, at $50, the phones were starting to ring for the AES frac guys. People were going to go in and complete some of these ducts. And we did have a bit of a pickup in activity in West Texas on the drilling side. And with the pullback, guys have decided to delay completing some of these wells. Will the rig count go down a little? Maybe if oil stays at low 40s, but 50 seemed to be a number that spurred a lot of talk on.
Okay.
But to give you a sense of our drilling fluids activity levels, Ian, like Q2 we averaged 41 drilling fluids jobs throughout Q2. Today in Q3 we're sitting at just over 50. So there has been an uptick in activity, and as Tom mentioned, you know, that probably stays pretty flat. Hopefully it doesn't go backwards in the next little while.
Okay. And then, I mean, the other thing that I thought was notable was that your touch points for Canada went up from Q1 to Q2. And I mean, you talked about market share, but as we think about that business moving forward, I mean, do we think about it having significantly less seasonality in Q2, given its focus on production? I mean, I suspected that would be the case, but seeing touch points go up quarter over quarter was a positive surprise.
Yeah, there are delays if you can't get a delivery truck to a location because of rain, but guys don't shut their wells in Q2, so that business is all year round. There were some interruptions with the fires around Fort McMurray, so we kind of had that one-time event, but absolutely, PureChem will be able to make money 12 months a year. The best we're going to do in the mud business is probably break even in a Q2 unless, you know, the government decides that actually we should export natural gas and then guys want to run a bunch of deep rigs through Q2.
It's also reflective, Ian, that PureChem's been growing its talent and been adding people in the right places all through this downturn, and that work comes on and it doesn't all just come on in a rush. So as we are able to displace the competitor off location in the production chemical business, as the reservoirs of their chemicals run down, we start taking that over. So, you know, our push to become the clear number three chemical company in North America continues on both sides of the border, and it's about adding the right people in the right places that can bring the customer and matching that up with our products and technologies.
Okay. And last one from me, on the frac chemical side, is it fair to assume that the margins, we should expect the margins on that side of the business to have quite a bit more variability than maybe the production chemical side, just given the general swings in activity?
There's some stuff that's highly commoditized, like slurried guar or friction reducer, but scale inhibitor, biocide, flow enhancer, that stuff's customized for the water and the reservoir. So you can make money on the chemistry, but the polymer or ground up plant, that's not unlike base oil and barite. It's, you know, you make a little bit or it's a pass through, but you got to have them to be in the game.
Okay. Thanks very much for all the detail. It's very helpful. I'll pass the call back over.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of John Bereznicki from Canaccord. Your line is open.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, John.
Just curious how Catalyst might vary in terms of its penetration into the completion market versus JCAM. I guess what I'm asking is does it sort of increase your relative presence in that market going forward?
Yes, it does. They have some existing business in the frac market. Obviously, that's way off of where it was in 14, but we get some slurrying capabilities in Midland that we didn't have, and we have some additional relationships. They have a very solid independent E&P customer in West Texas that they provide the chemistry to them on their fracs.
Great, that's good color. And Tom, you've talked in the past about an inventory overhang in the U.S. of drilling fluids. Any sense that's easing somewhat, or what's your read in the market right now?
It looks like that stuff's starting to be consumed We're not hearing as much about free liquid mud available. And, you know, an interesting thing happened over the quarter in the mud business in the U.S., John. Halliburton continues to significantly separate themselves from the pack in market share, and that is the tool they've used to get on location. Baker sent notice around to their customers that they were largely exiting the land drilling fluid market. They would remain available as a distributor, so I guess if you just want to call them, they'll give you the stuff, but they can't help you with it. And I think they made an exception in the Northeast U.S. They were specific that they're still in the game in the Gulf Coast. It would probably be part of their integrated offerings on their offshore business. But there's a changing landscape in the U.S. drilling fluid market. We have got to the point where at 50 jobs in the States, if they're the 50 jobs we have today, we can make money in that business. And then if there's a recovery, there's maybe a few less people to contend with than 1,000-pound gorilla.
Got it. That's terrific color. And then just lastly, looking at the JCAM treatment points sequentially in Q2, obviously a bit of a downtick. I know you've mentioned, you know, shut-in wells and weather. Can you give us a relative sense of you know, what would have impacted that decline in touch points, again, on a relative basis?
Yeah, there's a couple customers that each shut in about 300 wells in East Texas, Oklahoma, gas production, and then some guys shutting in oil because of oil prices. We're seeing some of that stuff come back on. I think based on volumes that we're pushing out of the plant or that we pushed out in July, I think that we've come off bottom from Q2, not to say that if oil goes back to $25, that behavior by the customer doesn't continue. And there was a lot of pressure in the quarter, John, to optimize. So, yeah, you're on location, but this has to be the least you ever treat the well with.
Got it. Listen, all my other questions have been answered. Appreciate the color. I'll hand it over.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, press star and the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of Steve Kammermayer from Claris Securities. Your line is open.
Oh, good morning, guys.
Steve.
Just on the wells in the oil sands, so you're on 5 rigs. Are these new wells, or have you displaced some of your competitors on that?
Well, we have a new SAGD customer for CES. It's really two customers with a third one about to move the rig. We just want callers to be aware that, you know, those projects have been delayed, put on hold, but there is still a modest amount of new drilling occurring. We believe we have created clearly the best technology and ability to get liners in these wells fast. And then, of course, the prize is to treat the production for the rest of our careers.
Okay. So is this, would you classify this maybe as a trial, and then as things go well, they start to give you the additional work, and then you treat the production? Is that sort of how it's going to work out?
Well, the drilling guy doesn't call the production work, but supply chain's largely calling most services these days. So being on location for these big oil sands players when they drill, it helps your chances to treat their production, but that's driven by people in production, not drilling. The work we have in drilling, it's not a trial. Like every other drilling service, you're only as good as how that well went. So at any point, everyone could be released, but it's not a trial. We're now the incumbent.
Okay. And then just moving to the pricing. So are we still seeing more pressure into Q3, or has that sort of eased as oil's, you know, off its lows at least anyway?
Well, I don't think it'll ever ease. The producers continue to be very pressured. They've got to look after themselves. And so human nature is, you know, the customers don't want to put their services into bankruptcy, but they're looking after number one, and we've had to find a way to reinvent ourselves so we can actually financially make money in these conditions.
Okay. I mean, it seems to me that would be more of a, you know, a positive in the longer term for you guys, maybe pushing out some smaller competitors who can't survive at these prices. Is that a fair comment?
You know, interestingly, I think if anyone goes away, it's not small guys, it's big places that might be in trouble on their balance sheet and access the capital markets or the debt markets and suddenly get caught at the wrong time and can't refinance something, can't square up with their bank. The little tiny mom and pops, they just go to Phoenix or the Okanagan and wait. But it's the bigger guys that, you know, have financial exposure. If there's going to be contraction, you know, or sort of consolidation or evaporation in the market, I think it's actually bigger businesses myself.
We also see, Stephen, and just on both the production side and the drilling side, there's been a number of businesses, particularly in the U.S., that were bought by private equity at pretty big numbers and levered up pretty high, and these businesses are coming back to the market to be sold, but I think they're, most of them are basically no bid, so that's probably the ecosystem that sees some shrinkage.
Okay, that's great. That's all I had, guys. Thanks.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, press star and the number one on your telephone keypad. And again, that's star one on your telephone keypad. We have no further questions in queue. I'll turn the call back to the presenters.
Well, to conclude today's call, we want to thank our customers and our employees for what's been a trying 18 months. We want to welcome the Catalyst people to our business. We're very excited to have you people as partners in our business. We believe that Q2 has been an inflection point for the company. We've added capabilities in terms of people. We've added customers. We've added geographic reach. We think that we're in just the right position to continue to ride out the trough, make a little bit of money, and be in a great position to really benefit when the upstream sector goes back to work and there's wells to drill, wells to frack, and new production to treat. We think we can keep growing our pipeline business with our novel chemistry, and we think we can expand our chemistries into the industrial markets through Sialco. With that, we'll conclude the call. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.